Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. Evan Moustak, 97.1 DGS. Happy Tuesday. So what do you got today, Mr. Surprises?
The real reason I'm leaving is my headphones broke. You know, $31, and they're bad already.
He was really bitching about this 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had those. I bought those Sonys for like $16. They lasted me like 10 years. 10 years. Then I go and spend big money. $31. What are these things called? Tascam.
Where'd you get them?
I don't know. Somewhere. Oh, the Guitar Center. That was my problem. I'm buying headphones at Guitar Place. So
not going to get that live now.
Nope. Damn. I was so looking forward to it.
I bet there's all kinds of things like that. That if you really, really knew that, oh my God, this $10 thing is every bit as good or better than the $100
thing. Oh, absolutely.
But you don't know.
No. And it just... they'll tell you that it's they charge you more because of the advertising they have to do, and they do all the big like
what?
the big name.
That's not my problem.
I know.
I really fall for it too, and yep. I don't do it like I want to wear $150 headphones. I do it because I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That like if I'm buying wine, well, an $80 bottle
it's
must
be better. Has to
ten
be better.
Times better than an $8 bottle.
Right, and a lot of times it's true. It's absolutely true, but quite often it is not, and you're paying for the advertising.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
One of the most interesting things ever along that vein was when I was having dinner with Carl Wente from Wente Wines, and I asked him, so what's the most money you can actually put into a bottle of wine? You know, like some bottles are $2,000, mm-hmm. and some are bottles are $10. And without hesitation, he said $50. He said $50, no one can put more value than $50 into any bottle of wine. All the rest is hype and reputation. And,
no kidding.
Yeah.
What about age? I mean, isn't a lot of wine is how long it's going to age?
Yeah. But so. I think what he was saying is, look, I can work all day long and invest all I want, but I'm not going to have 100 of my real dollars invested in a bottle. 50 is a really expensive, you know, my cost is $50.
Right.
And I'm going to charge you 100. And all the rest is, Screaming Eagle, it's $3,000 a bottle. It's all hype.
Yeah.
And it may be really, really good and really delicious. See, I don't think I could enjoy that. Not for my own money. Like, Jeff Dill gave me a 100-point bottle of Grange for my 50th birthday, which I gave to Nick for his 21st, which he probably drank. He swears he's got it. But, you know, that's, I don't think I would have bought it with my own money.
Right. That... truffles,
the
mushrooms, the ones that the pigs find, and that they just didn't know.
I had a cousin who found those.
Truffles? So he, George came in.
You have
George.
Five shows left.
Hello. George came in, and remember he brought some stuff with truffles on it? And he said these things, this a couple years ago. And I mean, these truffles are like, they're like $300 a pound or something like that.
Are they that good?
No, I couldn't taste it.
I always, every year when they do them at Annie Gunn's, I go and I'll get a little bowl, like a cereal bowl, full of white pasta with truffles on it.
Right.
And that bowl's $50.
Yes.
I do it once a year. It's pretty good. I like it.
It's good.
But
I
wouldn't like order it once a week or something.
Yeah. Truffle. Yeah. It's kind of paying for it. So
Matthew would like to say hello to Mark. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Dave. I get it.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Mark, I just found out today that you're retiring.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to tell you to have a long and enjoyable retirement. I've listened to you up and down the dial for, 40 years, I guess. And it won't be the same without you, man. I'm going to miss you.
Thanks, brother. That's
sweet.
That's great, man. And
how does that feel? I mean, I'm about halfway to where you are.
Right.
How does that feel to, like... whatever happens to you in your life, whatever happens to your marriage, whatever happens with Beena, whatever happens to your health, no one can take this away from you.
Yeah.
You're in. You're good. That's it. Like, what's that feel like?
It's pretty amazing. I mean, some of the responses from people and saying, you know, I listen, start back when he's, and I started Casey at 72. So it's been 47 years ago. No way did I think that I'd end up with you, that I'd end up this way. Down. I can't stop it. Now, if I did, you would yell at me.
There's
got
to be a rehab for that.
You would,
bunch of people sitting around in a group, and they're like, hi, I'm Mark, and I can't help insult people after I say something nice. Hi, Mark. Screw off!
Really?
It's okay.
I could be the instructor. That's my new job. I'll just cure you of that.
Insult instructor?
That's it. I can't help it. But it.
The key is to never make anyone feel safe.
That's it. You just want to keep them on the edge at all times. But it... The fact that a response like that, so many is too that people, especially like early on, they'd go away to college. A lot of guys went away to the military and then would come back 4 or 5 years later and they'd come back and start listening again. A lot of them are like, man, I can't believe you're still doing this, which I guess is
Rach, did you post that video that you showed me earlier today?
Yeah, it's on the DGS blog. It's also on the Dave Glover Show Facebook page. It's a interview that Mark did in 1990 on a show
90.
Called... 1990.
Yeah, that 90. Was 90?
Yeah. On
oh,
a show
I
called
it was 79.
I think it was called Even Later.
Right.
And it is just the quintessential. I mean, that's 90s to me. That's very late 80s, early 90s. A lot of VHS tapes floating around with this sort
Mark
of
Mark was wearing a lime green halter.
He yep. was not.
And killing it.
But it's great. It's just like every cliche from a local talk show in that time is present, but it's also Mark is the exact same person, same mannerisms.
Exactly.
It's really neat. Just go watch it. It's less than 6 minutes long.
It's creepy because you are you're saying the same things.
Yeah.
You say some of the same things in that interview here.
The same lines that I think the one about I dug my ditch.
Yep.
And I started below sea level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a killer line. That's quality stuff, man. It's like take my wife, please. These are quality lines. But that was a
young... The two of you look like you're being held hostage, though.
I know. I just...
It looks like they were gunmen.
It's not like that. But it is awesome because the set is an all-black background, and there's four white pillars going to nowhere, which is just totally on brand, and there's plants, and I don't know. It's really cute and really cool.
It was actually a student from Washington University's television station, and they started... And it's like a street scene, and Rachel and I were watching. Remember, Rach? And then they would like fade it out and stuff.
Like,
and it's like, and then David Sanborn's playing sax in the background.
You kind of ruined me for old radio guys, though. Just 10 minutes ago, I was in the kitchen getting some more lemon water, and Van Lorenz was there.
Yep.
And Van said, do you like maple, Dave?
And he did it to me, too.
I said, sure. And he gave me a maple, like Altoid.
Yeah.
And I was 95% sure it was going to explode or be like, you know, super hot
right.
Reaper peppers. And it was just a really pleasant maple Altoid.
Right. He's kind of, he's the...
He's the yin to your yang. Yeah,
flip side. Yeah, baby. Hey. What's the name of the show again?
Even Later.
Hey, it's time for Even Later.
I can't believe it's 1990.
Jerry Jenkins.
Jerry Jenkins.
Onward. Hit that sax. Come on, David, play it. Yeah.
Jerry's guest tonight, radio disc jockey Mark Close.
I love that headshot, too.
I like the way it sounds like he read my name for... Is it
yeah,
Mark
he had a Dixie.
Close.
I thought we had you, man.
He was just him with a Dixie cup. Please welcome everyone's favorite, Jerry Jenkins. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So very kind. Thank you, voice guy.
I was telling somebody, somewhere floating around is my dating game show that they did for a pilot in St. Louis. And that was like 77, 78 with the three girls and asked the questions. I ended up going on a date with one. And that's got to be just.
Did you close that deal?
I did not. I believe I was in.
That should have been the name of the show.
Closes. And Mark, are you going to close that deal?
I am, Jerry Jenkins.
Hopefully I wouldn't close on a deal with Jerry. Of course, he got me on a show. So.
Okay, only one more call. We can't keep taking your phone calls, but I'll let Jeff on. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Nice to talk to you.
Go right ahead.
Love the show. I listen to this radio station from 5 a.m. till I get home at about 3:30. I wanted to tell Mark, I've been listening to him not 40 years, but at least 35, and he's one cool dude. I wish him well.
Very nice.
Very kind. Thank you, man.
Yeah. I have a real question. So I have been the odd duck on this station since about 2004 or 5 when they went politics. We've always done well, always had really great ratings. I've always had about 30 to 40% of my audience that only listens to me. They don't listen to the rest of the station. But that leaves 60 to 70% who do. I've always been concerned that if you love Jamie Allman or Mark Cox or Annie Fry, you're going to hate me. And I'm just curious, for the people who love those shows, do you like this show the way it is? Is it afternoon recess for you? Can you dig Republican politics and 50,000 masturbating mice? Or do you really wish that we would just do the same thing they do? I'm really curious. Right. And of course, there'll be people who say, no, God, no, don't change it. And people who say, yes, now that you ask, I would like you to just do Trump stuff wall to wall. But I'm curious.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with what time you're on. I think people in the afternoon, by 3 o'clock, all the news that is the news has been digested.
I think that, but I don't know.
Yeah, oh, and I'm sure there's some other people, but the nicest compliment we ever, ever get on that, I think. On
nice ass?
Show, you, not me. Mine is like, where is your ass? The people
Sir,
say,
are you okay?
That's right. He's retired because of his health.
Give me the cattle!
I can't get over this
we
health
haven't
thing.
Found his ass
so
yet.
Many people saying that Close is leaving.
Mommy, what's wrong with that man?
There's supposed to be a butt there. It's just fabric.
And then he walked away, and we're supposed to have a butt where you and Daddy have a butt crack. He just had hair. Just hair.
He's taking this assless chapsing too much. You're supposed to have something in there. Forget it. I'm not. I was trying to be sincere, but that's done. That's gone.
Well, there's no way we would ever take over mornings like with current show.
But no, God, no. But that's not what I'm saying at all.
Nicest compliment is when people say, "You make me laugh in the afternoon. I'm worn out from work. I'm tired. You guys are doing stupid stuff," which is pretty much 90% of the show.
Yeah.
But it makes me laugh. And people, I had to pull over because I was laughing. To me, that's the greatest compliment you can get.
I just hate that there might be someone out there with a ratings meter who like likes the politics, and then they're like, "What did he say about masturbation?"
Yeah. It's just
now, if you don't have a meter, you can suck it. I'm just saying.
We don't care.
Yeah, you go wherever you want. Go into a frank opinion.
You know, other stations say they care. They don't.
Yeah, they don't care. Just honest.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
I would like to do this show for the 8 people out there who do.
Hell, we could do it live. We could have sent them in the studio in the corner.
I'll take your asses out to dinner every night.
Absolutely. Well, I think you may be treading on a line here, pal. You might want to slow down just in case.
And what do you like? I like it real rough.
Like, okay. Anything there you want go. Me to be.
Tony likes it rough.
Yeah. Bring it on.
I like women who like little kids. Thomas, get in here.
Right. It's okay. They're mostly cartoons.
That's right. That's right. Little Tarzan. That's the freakiest one ever. I don't remember even seeing Tarzan as a boy. I don't know where she's...
I didn't either.
Yeah. Well, you were hot for
him.
What? Oh!
This Miles O'Keefe could only be hotter if he were 7.
Oh. Sorry. Bad snort.
She's a snorter, too.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And I've heard...
I can't tell you how many times I meet people out. I was at St. Louis Wine Market a couple weeks ago, and there's some listeners at a table, and they're like, "Oh my God, you really do snort."
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? I would fake
it
that?
Up? Yeah.
You know what people love?
Yeah.
This would be a good time to snort into the mic. Well, you did do the pig noise earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
doing the pig noise. Have you heard my pig noise, Sue?
Let me hear it.
Okay. Put on your headphones real tight.
Yeah, okay.
You
I'm
want
ready.
Big pig or little? Oh, who am I talking to? I'll give you the little baby pig.
Yeah, baby, like a 3-year-old pig.
A full-grown pig, she's like, that's disgusting.
That's gross. Close your eyes.
Here comes the baby pig.
Close your eyes.
I'm ready. That is frightening.
That turn you on?
Not really. What's the adult? Give me the adult.
How is it we're not number one? They're not kicking the doors in to get at us?
What do people want from me?
For the love of God. We have old pigs. We have young pigs.
I can do a
panther. Do a teenage pig.
That was a
fig. That pig's got attitude.
That pig's got attitude.
That pig's got his driver's permit.
He thinks you're stupid.
He's eyeballing you. Oh, my God. You know what? Ask me again if I made the right decision. Ask me right now. I'm feeling better about it every minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
330 DGS. So a little bit of a content warning here. Just if you have kids that are really into Harry Potter, it's a story about J.K. Rowling. Doesn't want to screw anybody up. But under the headline of you can never be conservative enough for super conservative people. You can never be Muslim enough for jihadists. You can never be progressive enough for super progressive people. I've always said it. I've said this for years, and I'm now really being shown to be right because it's happening more and more that people in each group are turning against themselves. Ann Coulter says that, you know, Trump is just this doddering idiot now because he doesn't do X, Y, Z. And so now progressives are turning against J.K. Rowling because this is their quote, not mine. There are no openly queer characters in her books. So she was addressing this, and I've not read the books. I've seen a couple of the movies. Yeah. She was saying how Dumbledore and Grindelwald have this very passionate, very loving relationship that men can have or women can have, but she didn't go so far as to say that they have a physical sexual relationship, and now they're calling for boycotts.
What? Well, and I think it's also because she's kind of capitalizing on, look, I created these queer characters. Look how progressive I am. But it didn't actually play out in the books. So it's really easy to sit at a round table and be like, oh, yeah, by the way, that character's, I never mentioned this, but that character suffered from blah, blah, blah. You know, it's really easy to fill in things after the fact. So it's almost like she's getting all of this credit or trying to get all this credit for being progressive. And it really took nothing.
Did she bring it up after someone brought it up to her, or did she bring it up first?
She revealed that Dumbledore was gay after the last book was published, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I think it was also, oh, he had these feelings towards Grindelwald, and she was like, well, I'll have you know they had a very intense relationship. It's not all about sex, but blah, blah, blah. I don't know if she was directly asked about it, but she's obviously has a need to talk about it, but she didn't include it in the books. So
why can't you just write a book with characters you want and have them be what you want?
And you read it and like it, or you don't like it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, why now is that so hard?
Twitter is just exploding with jokes about it. Like, okay, TMI. Like, right? She's coming back and saying all this stuff about Dumbledore. And I mean, a lot of it's sexual humor that I can't really talk about on the radio, but it's pretty funny. But it really just boils down to, why are you even sharing this in the first place? How is it relevant? Other than you're trying to appear woke, but you didn't actually include it in the book, so you're just talking at this point. It doesn't mean anything.
Woke has become ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. Like, I would never consider voting for Beto O'Rourke because of his recent apologies. I want a man. I want someone who can say, here's what I think, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but this is where I stand. This pussy. He was talking about his wife and, oh, you know, she raised the kids and every now and then a little help for me. Oh, you're shaming and it's misogyny and it's stereotyping. And then he gave a big speech and she was on stage, but she didn't actually speak. She's not running for president. Ugh. And my God, people, what is wrong with you? It's like the oldest hackneyed, ham-fisted joke in the world. Self-deprecating humor like, oh yeah, you know, my wife took care of the kids and raised them, and every now and then I'd pitched in there because she's blah, 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 blah. God, it's so disgusting. One, it's so disgusting that people are that needy and thirsty and stupid that they cannot see past a silly joke. Mm-hmm. You really think that he's like, well, you know what? She raised the kids because she's a woman. She's got the ovaries, and I'm doing a real man's work over here. He didn't say anything like that. But yet he apologized. Don't apologize. Quit apologizing for things that you don't owe an apology for.
Yep.
This is never going to change. This is like having 8-year-olds run your family. It's at some point you got to go, hey, you already blew $100,000 on, you know, video games and candy. I'm going to put a stop to this. Because 8-year-olds are never going to say, you know what, I think I've invested badly.
Yes.
and the family's going down the tubes. Why don't you take back over? 8-year-olds will always take every inch you give them and then some, and that's what you're dealing with. Anyone who hears something like what Beto O'Rourke said and takes it seriously and tries to call him out for being a misogynist, you're an 8-year-old. You are an immature, stupid person. And Beto O'Rourke or Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or whoever it is, Mark Cox, Dave Glover, should say, shut up. Look, we can debate things that are debatable, but when you're just going to be stupid, I'm not, the grown folks are talking. Yeah. You go to the little kids' table and enjoy your pie. And as long as you keep giving them, you know, you know what it reminds me of? It's like the classic Twilight Zone with Billy Mummy, where he's sending people into the corn, and they're like, oh, it's a good thing you turned him into a jack-in-the-box, because they're so terrified of him. So the Billy Mummy with the telekinetic powers is now the mob. And there's a huge mob on the left, and there's a smaller mob on the right, but they're the same people, just two different sides of the coin. But everyone's so afraid of the mob. In the J.K. Rowling, I was reading through the comment section, and one of the people said, hold on, I wrote it down. Why have we not boycotted her yet? And then everyone's like, yeah, it's past time.
It's fiction.
Until we stand up to the mob and just go, you know what? You stupid living in your parents' basement idiots. It's a joke. I'm sorry if you didn't like it. I'm sorry if it didn't land. But I'm not a misogynist. And if you think I am, don't vote for me.
Right.
But for right now, I'm going to go talk to real, grown-up, intelligent people. God, it's so disgusting to me that we've let people have this much power over important things.
Right. Well, I think people are learning because J.K. Rowling is someone who was on the mob side for so long, and now she's not walking the line perfectly, and they're turning against her. Mm-hmm. She was getting a ton of praise early last year, all through last year, because she would troll Trump on Twitter. Trump would tweet something dumb and she would come at him and it'd be like, J.K. Rowling, oh, you showed him you own the president. And I always thought, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's, why is this author from across the globe? Like, why do you have anything to say? It doesn't really matter. But she was really, really celebrated. All these think pieces were written about how she's doing this great job. And then now it's, she's kind of trying to cash in on having all those people on her side, and it's not working. You just can't make it work. There's always going to be a way where you're messing up. There's always going to be a way where people can decide that you're not good enough.
Which is why you just need to be yourself. And real live human beings make mistakes. Real live human beings disagree with you. And the faster you learn that, the better off you're going to be in life. And when you hold any human being to a standard that they cannot make a mistake, they cannot misspeak, they cannot mispronounce a word or a phrase, and they can't step one toe outside of what you are comfortable with, then you're the one with the problem.
Right.
It's not that person.
Well,
it's you.
The atmosphere in this country is exactly that way. Everybody, either side, whatever side you're going from, when you hear somebody, you're like, all right, come on. I'm just waiting. And they sit there waiting for a mistake, then blow it way out of proportion. Like you said, things that really don't mean it. And then everybody starts apologizing, going back and forth. It's a monumental waste of time. I've said, we got bigger fish to fry. There's a lot of stuff we need to attend to. And this stupid stuff that gets all the page 1 and 2 in the paper means nothing. It means nothing.
And the only thing I can take from that is that I don't want Beto O'Rourke sitting across from Kim Jong-un or Putin or anyone else, if he doesn't have the spine to stand up to a mob of idiots who call him out for a dumb, obvious joke, then, okay, next. It's not you. Let's see who does have the backbone.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, 345 DGS. Speaker Tim Jones joins us. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Dave. Hey, gang.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, Dave, there was a new poll that came out. I don't know if you saw this. I know you were talking. You were just talking about Beto. Well, one of the other, the new liberal rock stars, Ocasio-Cortez, she's not really happy these days because her approval rating in New York State is lower than Donald Trump's, if you can believe that. I mean, so, you know, I mean, Donald Trump's probably got, he's probably got 100%? He's probably got 100% name ID in his home state because he's been there for 3 or 4 decades. He's been building stuff. His name is on many buildings. Now he's the president. So everybody in New York State knows him. Well, Ocasio-Cortez wants everybody to know her, and she just became nationally famous for causing Amazon to pull out of New York State. They were going to come into New York City, in fact, and bring 25,000 jobs and billions of dollars of new revenue. And so, you know, it's New York is left of left these days, especially Manhattan. But she's not too happy because her approval rating is below Donald Trump's. And it goes to what you were talking about before earlier about Beto, Robert Francis O'Rourke, as I call him, Beto. They're trying too hard, Dave. They're trying to out-lunatic each other. And they're honestly making Donald Trump look like the only adult in the room because, yes, does he tweet crazy things? Is his personality over the top? Sure. But when you look at the policies that the left is pushing versus the policies that Trump is pushing, when Americans sit down and, you know, as they're doing their taxes this year or they're looking at their take-home pay or the fact that they've been able to get new jobs and the wages are up for the first time in 25 years, I think Americans, a lot of them are sitting back and going, huh, maybe this guy acts a little nuts, but what he's doing for the country is so much better than talking about abolishing the Electoral College, having 16-year-olds vote, opening up our borders to anybody and everybody that wants to traipse across them. It seems that I think Americans these days, Dave, with the 24/7 news cycle, the access to social media, they're seeing more junk, but they're also seeing more news as well, and without a filter.
So to be fair, though, and we should, because if we're going to call out people on the left, we should call out people on the right. To what degree, because I don't think that we should just go wave a hand at it and go, well, you know, he tweets crazy things. It's a problem. And it's been a problem. And this thing over the weekend with we should investigate SNL and, you know, Tucker Carlson. I don't want my president even talking about media. And you know, I'm sick of all of them. I'm sick of all of it. But we have to be consistent. We can't just say that all the problems are on the left and everything on the right is peachy keen.
I agree with you in the sense that Trump is the counterpunch, right? Everything he does is typically a reaction. His entire presidency, Dave, I would argue, is the counterpunch to the media telling us for years that they were the objective, unbiased news source. Well, he's exposed all of that as a complete farce. It's completely fraudulent. I mean, yes, the right does have Fox News, okay? But the left has CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all the major urban newspapers. And Dave, for years, they haven't been telling us this is our opinion. They've been telling us here's the news, and this is the way we're going to present it to you. And it's always been presented from the side of a left-leaning liberal bias. And so Trump has been so big and dramatic on these things because he's basically saying, I need you all to see what's been going on here the last several decades in our country. Yeah, has he pushed the envelope and sometimes gone too far? Most likely. But then you look at somebody like Bill Maher, who's on the opposite side of the spectrum on everything from Trump, except for what you just brought out, Dave, and that's giving everybody a fair shake. And Bill Maher did an excoriating monologue diatribe the other night where he completely trashed the Democrats for saying, yeah, the whole debate thing, we're not going to go on Fox News. He thinks that is the stupidest thing in the world. I agree with him. And when Maher and Tim Jones agree, look out, right? So,
what do you think, again, it's palace intrigue, but it's pretty deep into the palace. What do you think of this whole George Conway, Kellyanne Conway? The president hit back, called him a total loser. Like you said, he's the ultimate counterpuncher. Now, Conway saying, like, look, I have all these private conversations I've had with Trump. I've represented him in legal matters, very sensitive things. He's this, he's that. It's getting pretty close to the bone here.
It really is. I think it is one of the most fascinating and bizarre relationships we've ever seen in a presidential White House. I mean, there's been a lot of weird relationships over the years. There's been a lot of strange bedfellows, right? But this has got to be one of the most. You have the president, one of his. If Kellyanne Conway is not his chief spokesperson, I'm not sure who is. I know Sarah Sanders. You know, he has to deal with the media, but I mean, Kellyanne Conway is there almost every single day on one of the networks, talking very highly about President Trump. Meanwhile, her husband is almost trashing him in real time on Twitter. I've been fascinated by this, Dave. So I've done some research recently. There's a great. I believe it's a Washington Post article, and it's not an editorial. It's actually an article where they went to the Conway's home and they spent time with them. I would direct folks to read that. There's a lot of interesting information there. The other thing, Dave, I've heard is that Mr. Kellyanne Conway, as the folks in the Trump White House like to call George, was apparently turned down for a position in the White House early on. And so, you know, you always have to wonder what people's motives are when things escalate to this level. I mean, this is not just someone, on the left, or, you know, their job is to attack the president. I mean, this almost seems visceral in his reaction. And you wonder, why go so far, especially when your wife is out there every day carrying an opposite message for her employer, who happens to be the president of the United States. Again, it is one of the strangest triangles I've ever seen.
What do you make of all the McCain stuff over the weekend?
Yeah, it's amazing how the maverick keeps speaking from the grave. And I don't think this is the last time that we'll hear from John McCain. You know, one of the interesting things that has potentially come out of this is something that most of the more liberal commentators, or the, you know, national media, as we call them, hasn't wanted to talk about. And that is they basically want to skip two or three steps and talk about Donald Trump working with the Russians in an attempt to disrupt the election of 2016. But they never want to talk about what led to that. And what led to that was this Steele dossier, which, if he did one thing that conservatives liked, was Michael Cohen, during his testimony a few weeks ago, basically said, I never was in Prague. And why was that important? Well, that's where the whole thing was apparently hatched. And so if Michael Cohen was never in Prague, never helped establish the Steele dossier, then the entire thing was debunked, and nobody followed up with him on that. So I'm going to argue that that's true. And then you have the fact that the people who picked up the Steele dossier, there was some early interest in that document from some Republicans who were competing against Trump in the very early days of the campaign. But they quickly dropped it. But Fusion GPS, which has a very close relationship with the entire Clinton family, picked it up, ran with it, and eventually became the DNC's pet project. And so, you know, when you start talking about Lisa Page and her, you know, interactions with John McCain, and whether there really was an inside coup to take down the president with the, quote, insurance policy, you have to start thinking that this is no longer just some figment of imagination that Sean Hannity dreamt up, and that this all may have very well occurred. The one thing they didn't bank on was for Trump actually winning that election. And none of this ever would have come out, and we wouldn't be talking about it right here, right now, almost 2.5 years post-November 2016.
All right, Tim. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, gang.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.